Austin Tice, a former U.S. Marine and freelance journalist, is one of the longest-held American hostages abroad. But the recent fall of Bashar al-Assad and his brutal regime in Syria has renewed hope that Tice will be found, some 12 years after he was abducted during a reporting trip outside of Damascus. Details about Tice's imprisonment are limited, but here is what we do know. Tice traveled to Syria in May of 2012 to cover the war. On his way to Lebanon on August 14th, he was detained at a checkpoint in Damascus. 5 weeks later, a 43-second video surfaced showing Tice being held by armed captors. Reports emerged that Tice had escaped imprisonment in early 2013, but his freedom was short-lived, and he was recaptured in Damascus soon thereafter. Still, the Biden administration declared in 2021 its sincere belief that Tice was alive. And more recently, a Syrian former prisoner has come forward telling NBC that he saw Tice twice in prison in 2022. Tice's family has long advocated for his release, pushing American officials over three administrations to do more to find him. And now that prisoners held by Assad's regime are being released all across Syria, Tice's family is stepping up their campaign to find him. Austin Tice's mother, Deborah, joins us now. Deborah, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me here.
So 12 years you have been fighting, more than 12 years, to bring your son home. What was it like for you to see the Assad regime fall, to see a new Syria emerging, and to see a new opportunity to potentially find Austin and bring him home?
Well, there were two feelings. I don't think that the way that the change is coming on might be more difficult than we're thinking, right? But those first days, of course, when people were able to go into the prison and find their loved ones and families could be reunited, there was just a jubilee with that. And that is the kind of thing that just has to be contagious, right? To see these families that have been, wondering and waiting for so long.
Yeah. You know what that's like, to be one of those families.
Yeah, I can hardly wait.
You sound as if that has been tempered over time, though. Do you not hold that still hold that same hope right now?
Well, no, it's still the same because, there are a lot of prisons in Damascus. And the ones that they were going to first were the ones that were most dangerous to their inmates because of lack of air. Mm-hmm. So they really had to get after it. We believe that where Austin was kept was they kept him more carefully. And so it would make sense that he would come later.
Well, President Biden was asked about your son on December 8th. He said that the U.S. remains committed to bringing him home. Secretary Blinken said just a few days ago that the U.S. continues its dogged, determined efforts. And we know they've been in direct contact with HTS, the rebel group now running the country as well. I mean, the FBI's offered up $1 million. The State Department's offered up to $10 million. Do you believe that the U.S. government is doing everything they can to find Austin and bring him back?
They're doing everything that they want to do. For me, there could be more.
Tell me more about that. What are they not doing right now that you would like to see them doing?
Well, I mean, one of the things that seems so odd to me is that they're not going into Damascus.
That there's no U.S. officials there yet.
Right.
These are civil society groups, right? Other journalists on the ground you've been in touch with as well.
Yes, and Hostage Aid Worldwide is the NGO that we've been working with, and they are on the ground there looking for Austin. So, we do have that kind of support.
President Biden has also said that the U.S. does believe Austin is alive, but that they have to first identify where he is. And you just recently sent a letter to the Israeli prime minister, to Benjamin Netanyahu, asking him to pause Israeli airstrikes in one particular area around Mount Qassiun, because you said you had credible information that Austin was held in a prison there. Tell me more about that. Is that information that the U.S. government says is credible, and have they acted on it in any way?
Well, I do have affirmation from the government that it is credible. For me, reaching out to Netanyahu, he's the boss of all the bombing people, right? So, just to take a pause with that and give us the opportunity to check those prisons that are in the mountain.
And yes. Have you gotten any response from the Israeli government on that?
No, I did not get a response from them. They did say that the letter was, you know, delivered. And so we did see HTS said that they had worked with the Israel government, and they did have a pause. You know, I don't know if that had anything to do with my letter, but it did happen.
You know, Austin went into Syria for the first time around the same time that actually I first went to cover the war as well. And I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit more about your son. I mean, what drew him to want to go into the chaos and uncertainty at a time when a lot of other people would run away?
Well, I mean, keep in mind, it was 2012, so it wasn't at all like what it became. So it was still a civil uprising. He had served in Iraq. He had served in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And so when this was starting to bubble into what would look like it was going to be another urban war, that was what compelled him to go, only with a camera. He was just hoping that he could take such beautiful pictures of Syria itself, the Syrian people, the amazingly cute and beautiful Syrian children. And he was just hoping that these photos could be compelling enough to prevent another, you know, another urban war.
Knowing your son as you do, does any of that surprise you, that he would want to go there and do that?
No, it wasn't surprising. And the other thing is, by the time he's announcing that he's going to do something, he's thought it through. You're not going to talk him out of it. So the best response is to say, you know, have you thought about your safety? How are we going to stay in contact? You know, and those, just to be practical, because he's made his decision and he's going to do the thing, you know. So that's the only appropriate way to respond to him when he makes an announcement like that, you know.
After
Mom, I'm going to join the military. Well, that's something I never heard before, you know, and he did. So, yeah, that's Austin.
After 12 years of fighting to bring him home, have you thought about what it will be like to watch him walk free, to be able to hug him again for the first time?
It's so hard to imagine, because he was 30 the last time that I hugged him, and he's 43 now. One thing that Austin thought was just really funny would be he would give me this big hug and twirl me around, because isn't that a blast? So I'm just wondering if he's still going to be thinking about wanting to do that, you know?
Deborah, what keeps you going every day?
My faith. My faith is what keeps me going 100%. Yeah, because I tell people, me, myself, you know, I am at home right now, in the dark, in my bed, in the fetal position, sucking my thumb. So what you're seeing right here is really my faith, and that's what keeps me going, yes.
There's a lot more information coming out and going into Syria post-Assad. If you could speak directly to Austin, you can get a message to him today, what would you say?
We are waiting for you. We have not given up. You're coming home. You're going to go on with your life. And I just want you to know, Austin, that I am praying that you are already working on forgiveness, because when you walk free, you're going to need to walk free of any rancor or any kind of wanting any kind of revenge. Please walk free, walk really free.
Deborah Tice, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for spending time with us, telling us about your son. We hope to see you here with him soon.
Oh, yes. I'll do it remote. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.